This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Hello and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review, week 10 of season 2. Here we are tonight in the lovely All Bar None again, along with the BattleBots. John.
Hello.
Nick.
Hello.
And myself, Rob. Tim off missing this week. And what a week it was.
It is. This is traditional, proper Super Rugby with South African teams doing abysmally, Waratahs losing heroically, and the Brumbies sort of just keeping up with the New Zealand teams, yes.
Well, or the Force as well.
All the Force. We were really a New Zealand team, let's face it.
Well, they're the New Zealand Brumbies.
Yes, well, tips that were.
Who's in the lead?
John has just jumped into the lead with his tips, with his five tips this week. The only one he didn't get was the Canes over the Bulls. In fact, Tim was the only person who picked the Canes. The rest of us, the Highlanders getting up, that was a bit of a shock to a lot of people. I thought my choice of the Sharks was a bit dubious, but I thought, bugger the bloody Force, they're useless.
That's a great.
And all of us picked the Blues, Crusaders and Brumbies, good on us. So, the way the table stands at the moment, John's in the lead on 33. Myself, Katina and Nico are all tied on 31 points, and Timbo languishing behind on 30. We'll see how he comes back this week.
Yes, indeed. Alright, well, the first game, Highlanders 21, Cheetahs 17 in Invercargill. I don't see how anyone, looking back, seriously thought the... it was a close game, but come on. South African team travelling, Highlanders...
Invercargill. I think that was the difference here.
Yeah.
The Cheetahs have been doing pretty well.
The Cheetahs have been playing very well. The Highlanders really, I think, pulled their socks off for this game. They've been languishing a bit this season.
Very much so. And came out and started scoring. And keeping the big Cheetahs back. I mean, true, the two All Blacks, Carl Heyman and...
If you're going to keep the Cheetahs pack back, yeah. Carl Heyman and Anton Oliver.
Anton, that's the one.
Coming back into the team.
Would help, yes.
Yeah.
Would help a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you want to say on that one?
Well, the Highlanders won, 21s. Cheetahs 17.
Still fairly close.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right in that. That has got to be the greatest distance any team has travelled, really. From
both teams.
South Africa all the way over to Invercargill.
Mm.
Especially from Bloemfontein. Yep, I can see that. Okay, moving on. A shellacking. I don't think any Force fans thought it would be this big. Western Force 22, Sharks 12. Not the 13 points plus, but still an emphatic win by the Force against the former competition frontrunners.
Yep. Sharks now two defeats in a row.
Starting your tour with a loss to the Brumbies at home is not a good way to start.
No, they've got to be asking themselves questions. Luckily enough for them, they're playing the Reds next week, so I think everybody will be picking them. Matt Gisso on form, set up the game, and also took over the kicking duties for an injured Shepherd.
Now, they're playing Shepherd with a tricky knee.
Yes.
I realise he's been playing rather well, so it makes a degree of sense, but...
Other people from the game, Henjak injured, may or may not be back, not sure when that's going to happen.
Well, that's only for the good of the Force, isn't it?
Yes. another favourite, supposedly, another Riot Act favourite sport, supposedly Troy Takiari from the Force has been selected for the Wallabies camp.
Has he?
Yeah, supposedly.
Wow.
We'll also wait to see whether that actually comes about or if he gets kicked out of there as well.
I can personally vouch, he throws a pretty good slap.
Well, him and Al Campbell, Al Baxter will be doing pretty well in there, right?
I've got to say, Al Baxter is so bad that even Troy Takiari is probably the improvement of the Wallabies. Plus, I mean, the higher Troy Takiari goes, the better my story becomes.
And this game leaves the Force jumping the Sharks on the table. Had them at second on the ladder for a little while.
Yeah. Second on the ladder in the middle of the competition round is, I guess it's a novelty for Force fans, but I don't think it's worth that much.
Well, they're above the Sharks on the table now. With one less win.
Yeah.
They've had a draw where, 5 wins, 1 draw,
mm-hmm.
where the Sharks are at 6 wins.
Yeah.
The three next teams under the top four,
mm-hmm.
the Brumbies, Bulls and Lions, are all... Yet to play their bye.
Have their bye.
And so, to me, I think it's going to take a lot for those four teams to be knocked out of the top four.
I'm looking at it, Nick, and I've got to say, you're probably not far off from.
Except those bottom ranked teams, most of them still have a chance to play the top ranked teams.
Yep.
And everyone says, oh, this means you've got a tough draw, but if you want to get ahead of them on the table, there's no surer way than to play them.
And knock them down a peg and take you up. There you go.
Well, what we've got coming this week, the Force playing the Crusaders in Crusaderland.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks down the track, we're playing the Crusaders at home.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a tough one, mate. There's going to be no easy games coming at the end of the draw.
But if you're mid-table, they say, oh, tough draw for the Brumbies, it's not. If you are mid-table, the best thing you can possibly have on the draw is to be playing the teams above you for the end of the competition.
Yeah, I can see how that really...
If you actually want to make it to the top of the table.
It will give you that finals boost.
Not just the finals edge, just in terms of overtaking the scores. If you're playing all the easy beats, then the team, the other team at the top of the table keep winning. You can win every game on the way home and not still not qualify. You've got to play the top teams if you want to claw your way over the top of the bastards.
Mm.
Moving on now, Hurricane 17, Bulls 9.
Wellington.
Everyone sort of had a feeling the Bulls were good for it, but...
Canes came back. They played one of their untested players, in the second 5-8, and he swung the ball well, very well for them. They got the ball movement for the Hurricanes going left, right and centre, and away they went.
So mystery player came good.
Yeah, I could look it up.
Okay, well, we might come back with that name after break. One last game.
Perry Weepu, it was.
Perry Weepu.
Yeah, it's a fly half.
Hardly untried.
It was the first time in playing in that position, though. Fly half.
True. Okay, then. We'll go to a song now. This week it's music by Matty Ellis from the Insatiable Banalities podcast.
I must say, Matty is one of my favourite all-time artists.
Do you remember seeing him at the front last night?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Do you remember something about last night?
Yeah, I remember quite a lot, and I remember the hangover this morning quite well as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matty's one of my favourite artists.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is his song, Walls.
Very good.
Oh, high for your good times with high. Slowly the memory remains, and it's different. This don't feel like me at all. Turning back again, bouncing off the wall. Where are and the ball?
That was Matty Ellis' Walls from the Insatiable Banalities podcast. And how long ago did you record that one, John?
Oh, that was nearly 2 years ago now.
Okay. But still holds up well. Okay. On to the next rest of the games for the round.
Chiefs 11 go down to the Bulls 18 in Hamilton. Well, I think this is the Chiefs' big chance to be the Giant Killers, but they weren't.
They were close. Which is what they do. They always go close.
They always go close.
Always a challenge. Always suspected. Never winning.
No. Did you say Bulls or Blues then?
Blues.
Blues.
Right.
Yes. I might have said Bulls.
Hearing fuzzy.
Might have said Bulls, but who knows? There's a fly in our speaker and our microphone. Wonder what that's going to do. You'll hear little footsteps.
Okay then.
We are so professional.
The Blues looking just so dangerous through this tournament.
Yeah. There's not a lot else to say, really.
And this was it without... They were actually... they only got in front in the second half, and they did lose their two key playmakers, Luke McAllister and...
Howard?
Yes. Troy Favell. Sorry,
right.
The captain.
Not really a playmaker.
No.
Forward.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's influential players, is what I'm saying. They lost them both throughout through injury.
How bad is Favell's injury?
He didn't start the game. He injured himself during the warm-up or the captain's run beforehand. So
it's not much of a captain's run then, really, is it?
No, not particularly. I can't remember which. But so the Chiefs were taking advantage of the situation, I guess. But the Blues still haven't got all their All-Blacks playing yet. And why would you, I guess? But
it's their second rate.
Yeah.
Hacks.
So,
but that's such a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The best coach in Australia is doing an excellent job there.
Well, the best coach in New Zealand doing a good job with the force. So that's a tit for tat there.
Okay, now on to my favourite game of the round. Waratahs 33, Crusaders 34 in Sydney. Peter Hewitt.
20 metres out.
Straight in front.
I reckon I could hit that.
I reckon you could hit that maybe 4 times out of 5.
Yeah, and I'm not paid millions of dollars.
But Hewitt had his, 5th out of 5 in a rather critical situation. Mm-hmm. I think this crooks Hewitt's Wallabies chances completely.
Especially with Huntsley doing so well.
Yeah, there's been a real reluctance.
Well, I reckon we'll get to that. But let's face it, the Crusaders have got to be a bit disappointed with themselves. 6 tries for 34 points. 6 tries. That's
two
30.
Only two conversions.
30 points from tries. Only two of only 4 points from conversions. Now, Dan Carter was out injured. Hopefully, it'll be for a long time, but I don't think it will.
Or forever.
Not that we're biased at all, but...
not that we've got anything against Dan. We just don't like playing him.
He plays for the wrong country.
So, the Crusaders scored the first 4 tries in the first 30 minutes and looked to have run away with the game, but with a couple of intercept tries, the Waratahs...
And Lotto did something.
Yes.
First time this season that he's earned his
$1.2 million. Yes, he actually ran down the sideline. Didn't actually score himself, but he came close.
Yeah.
He ran away from people and he came close to scoring, whereas on the other wing, the new boy on the pitch...
How old is he, 17?
Kirtley Beale.
No, Beale.
Yeah.
A very young pup.
Okay. Now look, this has been written up in the Sydney media as if they won the whole
Lachlan Turner ran away, dodged 3 players and ran in for a try. Nice intercept drive, 65 metres or something.
Definitely the try of the round. Some people have been saying the try of the...
I don't rate intercepts as... I mean, an intercept was a score, you can't argue with it, but in terms...
Lottie's was an intercept, his was...
Okay, that was a proper one. Alright, cool. Well, that's good then. But Waratah press is writing something like they've won the whole damn competition by coming close to winning against the Crusaders. which really shows there's a real loser's mentality running rampant down
there. Oh, it gave them 2 bonus points. They're got further away from the Reds.
Yeah. I suppose that's really what the season's all about at this point.
They are still languishing on second bottom place, yes.
Yeah. I think, though, it will encourage every other team in the competition to see the Crusaders leak 4 tries.
Yeah.
Especially 4 tries to a team of hopeless jokes like the Waratahs.
Well, it does sort of show that the Waratahs, with their young talent and with their high-paid stars, can actually score tries. Mm. They can't do much else
at the
moment.
Rugby,
yeah. Yeah, good point to mention their young talent, because they've actually got a number of guys out injured as well. More guys out injured rather than just the ones they had previously. So,
did they lose?
Good question.
Lost people, right?
Yes, they've lost people.
Oh, we're having such a good day
today.
They
might find them under the couch someday. Mm-hmm. It's a shocker when Tim's not here, because he's the one who remembers all the names. Bugger.
Now, look.
Before we go past Crusaders, I'd just like to point out Crusaders are leading the competition on bonus points. 4 bonus points for 4 tries, and 3 bonus points for losing within 7 points.
Which is every game that they've lost. All 3 of the games that they've lost have been very close. Mm.
They're the only team in the competition that is consistently scoring more than 4 tries. I mean, even the Blues have only scored 3 games with 4 tries.
Waratahs just scored 1.
Think about
consistently. Consistently.
Think about it. In years previously, the Brumbies have had 9 or 10 bonus points, and that has put them in top place.
Yeah.
This year, there is no team with more than 7.
Mm.
All right, we're still going in the competition, but everybody else is on 3 bonus points, or 1 or 2. Mm. There is nobody else even looking close to getting that number of bonus points.
Oh, the Chiefs got 7 bonus points.
I think that's a big
losing place.
I think that's a big. It's a big difference this year than previous years.
Yeah, and I think moving on to the Brumbies game, where this was an ugly, ugly win, and that's how the Brumbies have been winning this year when they have been winning.
I think it was as ugly as everyone's been making
it. I'm not
happy
with the
massive
with
handling
the
errors, but it still looks good. I still really enjoyed watching it.
No,
I mean, it was a little bit of luck and magic where he showed us what he could do again.
And I was very impressed with Huxley.
Look, very impressed with Huxley. What's the go with the drop goals, though? Right, fine. If you're hitting 3 out of 4, go for it. When you're hitting 1 out of 3, I'm not sure kicking the ball away, giving away field position.
When you've got quality possession in their heart.
Yeah. When you, what is the point? I mean, unless he's going to start actually hitting them, Laurie Fisher should be sitting him down saying, look, don't fucking take those anymore, because you're not hitting them.
You're passionate about this, aren't we, Rob?
I am. I saw them getting the ball, getting good field position, and suddenly, bang, over it goes and he misses. I'm thinking, what's the point of that? Yes, getting points on the board. Yes, being in front. Great work.
But a field goal is only forgivable if you make it. Otherwise, you have given away quality possession.
Having said that, at least he was trying to score with those field goals rather than putting them to the hands of one of his other players who was going to drop it and knock it forward.
Well, you know, if he doesn't have faith in his teammates, then the Brumbies have got much bigger problems.
Exactly. Look, he did a great job and really happy with it, but he's got to start hitting the field goals if he's going to take them. If that's his direction from the coach, then he needs to be out there practicing. Simple as that.
I'm not sure if it was the direction from the coach. Fisher, in his praise of the Brumbies' win, specifically said that, or made comment that he wasn't going to praise Huxley, that it was a team effort, etc., etc. So perhaps he wasn't all that impressed with the way that Huxley chose his options.
The fly half can't, and he was playing inside centre, sorry.
No, he was playing fullback.
Fullback, sorry. Particularly if he's playing fullback. The fullback can't just decide, I'm going to kick a field goal. Someone in the team leadership has to decide we're going to kick a field goal and set up the play for it. It's not spontaneous.
Put him in the pocket, get him in position.
Well, there was a couple of occasions where
having somebody else covering the fullback's position was.
Yeah, so
that last 10 minutes. They did have it set up so he would sit back in the pocket to go for the field goal.
So all I'm saying is it's pointless to blame Huxley, because other people in the team must have decided they were going to go for a field goal in that situation.
Yeah, not sure. But anyway, still, we won, if we didn't figure that out before, 14-9. It was tied up until the 73rd minute, when Huxley went over from a Larkin pass to the wing.
And that was a very well-timed play. I thought that was very...
Oh, it was past Larkin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. And it was
a Larkin Roth sort of move.
Well, it cut out two players and gave Huxley some room on the outside, and away he went. And it was fine. It didn't. I got to say, it didn't look spectacular, but it worked for me, and that was the main thing.
Getting
the point.
Over the line is a big step forward for the Brumbies.
It was. There was. And I was shocked at how. I got to say, Adam Ashley Cooper. I thought I really rated him for that game.
Mm-hmm.
He was breaking the line consistently. So was Gene Fairbanks. They would run up.
Fairbanks played well.
They would. They would run up. They would. The opposition look to tackle and they do a little spin, 180 mm-hmm. 360 turn, spin it out of the tackle and they'll keep on going, get another 5 metres. Great work. I don't think the problem was Adam Ashley Cooper, when he took the ball to ground, he was playing exactly how he'd been trained to. He'd go to ground and place the ball straight back behind him, ready for somebody to rush over the top and get it.
So lack of situational awareness.
Well, the problem was he didn't have any support coming with him.
Mm. So is that his fault or the
no, it was
things?
Well it's
situation,
yeah. I think what you should have been doing is being aware that he was alone, isolated, and the people going for the ball were on their feet. So, fall on the ball first, slow it down, and then place it, rather than going straight into the crowd, straight onto the ground and placing it just like you expect. You have two forwards coming over the top, grabbing the ball and going again, which is great training if you've got the support. Three times he didn't have the support. Three times it was turnover when he just made a great little break. Mm. So. Maybe that's either something they practice.
You've got to be thinking
that
extra step ahead to plan how you're going to get rid of the damn ball and relying on your forwards.
He was carrying out his training perfectly. Unfortunately, the others weren't. I've got to say, I was. But yeah, no, very impressed with both him and Gene Fairbanks for their tackling ability and breaking the line. They did really well. And it's the first time I've actually noticed the Brumbies going forward in that manner. Don't know what was different this week. Maybe because we're taking Huxley out of the centre's role.
Cover it up by kicking it away.
And so he couldn't kick it away. Yeah. I think that could be a big contributing factor.
Yep. And big games by some of the loose forwards, Stephen
yep.
Hoyles. And,
very good game.
Hoyles had a very good game.
Chisholm again. And,
people got to be looking at the Chisholm and saying he's a shoo-in for the Wallabies.
He should have been there for years now.
Just the work effort and the ability to take the ball and run it up and keep on going.
Well, he's a genuine game breaker as well. The Sydney Morning Herald writers have realised he's one of the few real game breakers currently running around in Australian rugby.
I've just got to vent a little bit.
You haven't been doing it?
Yeah, I have, but I want to do a little bit more. I can't remember if it was Nick or Guy who got the ball on a break from Stephen Hoyles to
got the ball
the ball break. They've made the break through the line going down, got the Hoyles have passed the ball inside to either Nick or Guy, and they've got the line 30 metres in front, one guy to beat. Some reason they're running sideways and they're trying to do a foot pass behind them to Bernie Larkham, who's going straight, and ends up ball going forward. Not sure what they were trying to do there. Should have just taken themselves, or else made a good pass rather than a.
Well, you know, when you're a prop forward, you know, broken field beating of the only man in the line doesn't come up in training too often.
Now, Nick Henderson should be thinking to himself, "I haven't scored a try yet. I haven't scored a try yet." If it was him, can't say it was, but if it was him,
You said there was a man in front of him, so the try probably wasn't.
But he could have just kept on going forward and run into that man or over him.
Yeah, and then pass the ball over, because he should be able to stand up and attack if he's a bloody prop. Yes, anyway, we're going to take another break now. The next song is The Ballad of Three Times Lucky by Matty Ellis from the Insatiable Minorities podcast, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Such a waste when you hold on.
so high.
With the Ballad of Three Times Lucky.
And I just want to apologise to Johnny Tawaki, Nine-Fingered Johnny.
Half-hand.
Nine-Fingered Johnny, who was the one who made the break and then passed on to Stephen Hawes, which then got buggered up by one of the props. Sorry about that, Johnny.
The interchangeable Nick and Guy show.
Yes.
I think it speaks volumes that they've become this gestalt in our consciousness. I think
I think it's, they look very different.
They do.
Guy has a much stupider haircut than
he does. Much stupider, which is why I'm leaning towards Guy, but I don't want to. It's my facial recognition which is more the problem than anything. Right. Or number recognition, even. Or
okay.
Memory.
Now, all beer reviews. Very important. The beer this week is.
We have Cooper's Lager.
We do.
On tap?
On draft, yes. Now, I've got to say, it tastes like Cooper's Pale Ale to me.
Not quite. There is a difference. What are these? A Canto.
It's not cloudy.
No, it isn't cloudy, which will definitely help the hangover.
I don't get that hangover
for Cooper's
Piles myself.
Oh, I do. I do. Especially this morning.
Yeah, I think that was the quantity of beer you drank in general rather than the
you
brand
were changing your flavours where you can go.
Oh, I started off here last night drinking the...
We don't need to hear your tales of depravity.
And then I went to the front and drank the Cooper's. But yes, I think the Cooper's did hit me a bit hard this morning.
Yes. And then he insisted I feed him.
So, thoughts on it? Drinkable?
Oh, yes.
It's a Cooper's. It's a Cooper's.
I think I prefer it.
It's basically a clear version of the pale ale.
I think I prefer the pale just for it's a bit lighter, I think. And this one's almost a bit of a heavier flavour for me.
Mm. But
it's not as chewy.
Solid beer if you're in the mood for a.
If you're tired of the pale, give it a try.
Yeah. Not bad at all. Now, next talking point for general discussion.
Well, there's a couple of things.
Yeah.
Eddie Jones, staying with the Reds.
Yes. Now, big this decision. Seems to be John Connolly running a personal little vendetta against Eddie
obviously
on
John's,
the Rugby Heaven website.
John's denying that he's been saying anything nasty about Eddie.
Yeah.
While saying nasty things about Eddie.
Certainly damning with faint praise in patches.
Well, they are languishing in bottom position with 15 players out injured.
They are, 15 players out injured, the first year in the role.
I think the Reds are going to do well for this year. For having had this year. In future years.
In that no one will want to recruit their players because they're not doing anything, so they'll actually keep a squad together from one season to the next.
Well, also, the players that they get back from injury will be a boost to them, but they'll have blooded a lot of young players.
Right, who will get poached by provinces going somewhere.
Possibly.
With lots of money.
Yeah.
Possibly. But they'll have had experience, and besides their form this year, I think Eddie Jones is a good draw card for any young players as well.
Yep, that's a very good point. Now, Eddie said he's staying, and apparently there was some sort of family crisis that he had that was making him consider
his wife's mother died over in Japan.
Right.
And there was a lot of issues that they needed to go tie up in Japan.
Yeah, but that shouldn't affect your...
he was considering going to coach in Japan.
Yeah, but if the mother's died, then, you know, that's a limited crisis.
True. I think part of the reasons why he decided to stay in Queensland, or some of the reasons that were cited in the papers, was the fact that he's also moved his family a couple of times recently, and his girls... he doesn't want to have to move his girls from school to school again, so...
Mm-hmm. But if he's already moved them a few times lately, then one more move won't kill. Anyway, Eddie's
I'm just repeating what I've read and heard.
Sure. I mean, kids get trotted out in, you know, be it politics or football. They're almost never the real reason.
It could well be an excuse. We don't know. But he's staying with the Reds for another 2 years.
Which I think will be good for the Reds in the long run.
I think it's good for Australian rugby.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Australian rugby and Australian rugby coaches...
Yes, who will replace Knuckles when he finally pisses off?
Well, it'll come soon enough.
Come on, Nico. Well, you had all sorts of discussions last week. Last week
it seemed like there was a massive amount of talk about recruiting a New Zealand coach. And whether
Dens is available.
Yes, which would be brilliant, I think. Especially considering what the culture Deans has instilled with the Crusaders.
If only we could get somebody who could teach our guys to kick.
Well, I think Deans will make sure someone's taught how to kick. I mean, the thing with Deans is that he would need to be given an awful lot of control over the whole structure of Australian rugby to do what he's done with the Crusaders at the Wallaby level. Otherwise, it's... Because Wallaby coach isn't really a developmental position.
No.
Not like the way of being a coach of a club team.
A province, yeah.
You've got to be the sort of coach who just puts together things that work.
I don't think Deans will take it anyway, because the All Blacks position is also up this year, and I would not be surprised.
Provincial politics in New Zealand, I don't think a Canterbury man can take it.
You don't?
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting. Also, there's been a bit of talk about...
He will definitely want to hang off until he knows for sure that he's not eligible for the New Zealand job.
There's also a bit of talk about offering it to the Moose, which, if you're looking at the two...
Reece is retiring, so...
The coaches of the two highest and most successful super teams ever, the Blues and the Crusaders, are the two that they're talking about trying to give the Wallabies position to.
Yeah. Well, at least Nis has the Australian background and experience. Yeah.
And the last one, I suppose, there's been a bit of talk about, of course, is...
Gandalf.
A bit of talk about Gandalf, but I
Gandalf's
think that's...
Gandalf's a shoo-in by some sort.
I think that's fantasy talk.
Yeah.
John Mitchell, who's emphatically said no.
Yeah.
Because he's going to focus on the Force, which I think is a smart move by him.
I think the trucks of cash they're backing up to John Mitchell's place to stay
with the Force.
Out west is far more than the AIU is thinking of offering.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, for the AIU, being coach of the Wallabies is something they can always find people who want to do it to advance their careers, whereas...
that tick in the box and say, I'm coach of the Wallabies.
Yeah, whereas...
Okay, I'll do it for them if they really want.
Yes.
I think it's for what some pay, though.
I think they'd want some rugby talent. The other thing that I think is worth mentioning this week is that one of Brumby's greats, Joe Roth, has had one of his records broken.
Yes, finally.
And in round 9.
Hmm.
Try-scoring record.
Doug Hallett has finally cracked the old record of 58 and has now scored 59 tries throughout his 99 games.
He was, an extra 12 games ahead of more than what Roth had done or something? Or?
No idea. But, Roffey's record is no more. And how
Which might
still
encourage him to come out of retirement because he retired far too young.
God, yeah, we want him back.
Yeah. Come on, Roffey.
You know you're listening. Come on back. We'll save a spot for you at the bar.
Everyone in Canberra will buy you a beer. We promise.
Speaking of which, there was a brief one-paragraph article in the Crimes this week.
That would be the Canberra Times for the non-Canberrans listening.
Yes.
Gandalf would be Laurie Fisher for those people who don't know us.
Yes.
I think anyone who follows Sizzle Rugby knows
we'll probably figure that one out. But they were saying that at the... I think it was at the Sharks game. The Rugby Sharks game. The Sharks crowd... Or the speakers at the Sharks crowd...
Yeah, they've always had lippy ground announcers.
...said that there had been a water main burst outside the stadium.
Yeah.
And so water was going to be difficult to supply in the stadium, so everyone had to drink more beer. And they were selling pitchers of beer to the fans.
Of course. Yes. Good.
So, that's excellent.
Well, yeah, and from watching the coverage of the game, the stewardesses and that were quite nice too.
Oh, yes.
I've got to say, look, pitchers of beer at rugby, I normally approve of pitchers of beer in general, but at rugby, I want
plastic bottles of
that
beer.
You can sew under your seat.
Yes. Yeah. With a lid on it. Yes. That you can... So you don't not spilling the thing all over the bloody place.
Or you just sling a dozen of them in your bag.
Mm. Yes.
And I don't want to be howled down here, but I think I might be. I also go to the rugby to watch the rugby. Yeah. Not to drink copious amounts of piss and...
No,
but
I go to the rugby to watch the rugby and drink copious amounts of piss. Because I can multitask.
They're complementary activities.
I like to focus on the game, which is why I don't... Well, haven't been sitting with the horde of small children recently.
Right.
But yes. Anyway...
Shall we go to the last song?
Let's go to the last song.
Before we talk about this coming week's tips.
Yes, indeed. And the next song is Means What It Means by Matty Ellis from the Insatiable Banalities podcast.
Let me stop.
slept, tears that I wept, soaking through the pages of the letters I kept when I wrote you.
With Means What It Means from the Insatiable Banalities podcast. Tips for the week, it's coming.
Okay, first game.
John, in the lead on the tipping.
Yes.
Blues versus Cheetahs in Auckland.
Yes, well,
come
Blues
on.
Anywhere,
come on.
Cheetahs.
You know you want to. You're reckoning at this point in time you just want to consolidate your lead and leave us all behind, eh?
Well, you're just not going to tip anyone for the Blues in this situation.
Katena is.
Well, you know, she's done quite well the wildcard tipping. Where is she now?
She's equal second.
Yeah.
Along with myself and Rob.
So, I mean, yeah, if you want to get ahead of me in this competition, you've got to tip the Cheetahs for this game. But otherwise, actually, I'd hang on and tip smart and try and claw ahead elsewhere
yes.
at this point. But particularly with the finals coming up, where the double points give a bit of the scope for more educated wildcard tipping.
Well, everybody except for Katena has gone the Blues.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be crazy to do otherwise.
Yes, indeed.
So that one's a no-brainer.
Cheetahs on the road, no chance.
Okay, Highlanders V Chiefs in Queenstown, which is nominally a
Highlander.
It is a Highland ground. This is not Canterbury.
It's the third Highlander ground.
Yes, in Macargill and Otago.
Yes.
I don't think it's
that even.
So yes.
But for me, this is the hard choice of the round. Highlanders. Sort of at home. Chiefs,
not that far away.
Yeah, they're both teams underperforming this year, and they could both take it out.
Yeah, I agonise over this one.
Especially considering the fact that the Chiefs did do reasonably well against the Blues. Yeah, but I do
think Highlanders did beat the Cheetahs, though, so it's
yes.
Look, yeah, this one could go either way. I tipped the Highlanders in the end, just because I think they got a little bit more grunt in the engine room. And
I've gone to Highlanders as well.
And the only person who hasn't is Tim, who's once again also trying to claw his way out. So
this could be his turnaround point.
It could possibly be. Mm. It's his. Well, actually, he's got a couple of freaky tips in there, but this is one of them.
Mm. Now, interesting one. Crusaders v Force in Christchurch. Crusaders a little patchy lately. Force playing strongly. I still can't see the Crusaders losing in Christchurch.
Not at home, no.
No.
Well, okay, I can envisage it might happen one day, but I would bet on any given game.
Could be a draw.
I think
it would
be too high scoring.
Yeah.
That was a high scoring draw last year.
Yeah.
It was 22 points each or something.
Yeah.
Still, once again, it's almost a Crusader whitewash on the tipping, but with Tim going the Force.
Yeah, someone is really quite desperate there. It's going to be funny when he's languishing in absolute last place.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Reds v Sharks in Brisbane.
Has anyone tipped the Reds?
No. I thought about it, actually. I thought long and hard about this one.
Really?
Yeah, the Sharks have been playing shockingly. The Reds are at home. They can't get any worse.
That's true.
So I thought about it, and then I tipped the Sharks. But,
Reds still don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
Andrew Walker can only do so much for them.
Yeah, and the Sharks will be very hungry for a win now, and
be looking to capitalise on this.
I think 2 weeks ago, if the Reds had played them, they might have surprised them on the day. But the Sharks are not likely to be surprised after two losses and not on the trot. So, okay, now on to Stormers v Lions in Cape Town. Now this was a real head scratcher.
Yeah, I think
the Lions have been playing very well, even though they lost against us, even though there was a hell of a lot of handling errors. I can't see the Stormers being that much of a challenge.
The Lions are a much better side this season than the Stormers.
Yeah.
And it's a home game for the Stormers, but it's a South African derby.
Yeah, but even though we always say never tip the Cats, I'm tipping the Cats.
Yep.
You're with 5 wins in this competition.
The only real contributing factor might be the bright lights of Cape Town.
I think they should be used to it.
They should be inured to it. A bit like the Brumbies, don't get too worried in Sydney. Okay.
And the only one who hasn't tipped the Lions there is Katina.
Spawn the Stormers, eh?
Yep. Now the last one. I hope we've got a whitewash here.
Yes, we do.
Brumbies v Warren Stars in Canberra. Sunday night game. Easter Sunday. So
who the hell thought this up? I just want to... Okay, this is Dave venting because I really hate the idea of having the middle of a long weekend taken up with rugby. In fact, unfortunately for me, I'm not actually going to be there because I've got something else in the middle of a long weekend.
Because
it's a long weekend. Why can't we have it on, say, the Friday night? Because I think they'll be surprised how few people are going to get there for this game.
In my family, it's like, what are you doing going to the rugby? Why aren't you having family dinner on Easter Sunday? It's a big deal for a lot of people. And this is Orthodox Easter Sunday as well as... Catholic Protestant Easter Sunday. It's the first time in like 100 years they've fallen on the same.
That's obviously doesn't affect me at all, and a vast number of Canberrans who are
but it affects a lot of Canberrans
who want to. It's beginning of school holidays. So they want to go away to the coast.
Oh.
It's the last chance to go to the coast for 6 months.
True,
right? You've got to hang around for Sunday night.
Traditionally Canberra.
I think whereas normally you get 22,000 plus to this game, I reckon I'll be lucky to get 15. I hope the Brumbies management. But he learns from this lesson because then...
They don't actually set the draw.
Rob, I think you're totally wrong here. I think it's going to be a packed house.
No.
I really do think it's going to be a packed house.
No, I think it'll be quiet.
I think the Waratahs fans can stay away.
They think they can beat us. I'm sure they think they can beat us.
They might think they can beat us, but the Waratahs fans are well and truly pissed off with the Waratahs this season.
I know, and this is going to be their only chance of a win. Something that counts even though they're not going to be on the table.
They're playing the Reds next weekend.
They're not coming down to Bruce on Easter Sunday. Again, exactly the same reasons as the Canberra fans are going to struggle to turn out.
Anyway, I can feel a cold coming on, so I might be able to make it to the game.
And so I've got to say, look, and you guys might say they don't set the draw, but I bet they bloody do.
Foxtel decides when the games are going to be, The draw is determined by the Sansar process. The Brumbies have got a little bit of input, but not very much.
And I bet they chose to have it this day at that time. And I think they're
wrong. I'm sure they did.
I think it's a bad choice.
Yeah. I think
you'll find it's going to be low crowds. It's going to be quiet.
As long as they keep the ticket prices up at $35 a game. You know,
isn't the Brumbies Waratahs game always on this weekend?
Yeah, it's usually on Friday.
Easter is it's an early Easter.
Yeah.
I thought they always had it
on the Easter weekend.
Sorry?
The Brumbies Waratahs game was always on the Easter weekend.
We've had it on Anzac Day Fridays.
We've had it on Easters, but not on the Sunday.
Okay.
And
we do have a Sunday game, which I think is also usually during the daytime, and I think that's also a rubbish game. Can I stand it?
Well, I've got a mate coming over from Forceland who's going to be here for that weekend, and I'm going to try and take him along to that game, so... The Brumbies used to be his team that used to support before the Force came around, so it should be a good game for him, I hope. Okay. Hopefully a home win.
Right.
I'm tipping a home win because we're going to smash those Houston fans.
I
don't think it's going to be as...
I see they'll unleash the Brumbies backline finally in this one.
I'm a little worried, but I'm still...
I think our forwards will walk all over them without picking them a walk.
If our forwards are going to do well, then that means our backs do well.
It's a good truism anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're done, gentlemen?
I think we're done.
Okay. Thank you and good night.
May all your tips be winning ones, except where they contradict mine. And see you guys later.
Good night.
Brumbies.